John Millhiser was confirmed this month as U.S. Attorney for Central Illinois, becoming the first permanent appointee to the job since President Donald Trump took office. Millhiser, a Republican, is the former Sangamon County State's Attorney. He says he wants to use that background to build stronger partnerships between federal, state, and local law enforcement.
My job, current job now as the U.S. Attorney, I view very, very similar. I mean, it is seek justice in every case and do the right thing. So that hasn't changed at all. My parking spot, the courtrooms I have, it's a much bigger area, but the job itself is very, very similar. I will tell you that it is different dealing with the federal bureaucracy, and nobody in the office right now is getting paid, or in the district, versus dealing with my county board. So it's just a much bigger, the federal bureaucracy is different than dealing with just a county. The mission, which is many things, but one important one is to prosecute criminal offenses for the federal government. That's what one of the things I am tasked with. And that's working with law enforcement, which I did as a state court prosecutor, but now it's the same thing on a bigger level in that some of the cases are a little different. They're a little more complicated. They take more to develop. You have national security interests in terrorism cases, RICO cases, public corruption cases, still guns and drugs and the violent crime. But the majority of those cases are dealt with on the state level. Yeah, the transition, I'm almost a day 90, and so it was nice. Halfway through, they stopped paying anybody in the office, which was a different thing. So I learned what the DOJ contingency plan was for a lapse in appropriations, which I would not have read that normally before I would have started here. And, you know, one important thing on page one of that is the mission of criminal litigation will continue uninterrupted. So it has. And there are dedicated attorneys and staff in each branch who keep coming to work, even though they're not getting paid, because they understand the mission. And the mission is to prosecute these criminal offenses and do our part to make our communities safe. And that's what we continue to do every day.
So as you have those discussions with the Department of Justice and you bring your own background to the table, what are going to be your top priorities as you settle into this new job?
I think reducing violent crime is a top priority. That's a top priority of mine. That's a top priority of the Department of Justice. I think what I can bring that's a little unique is my experience as a state court prosecutor. So the relationships that I built up with all the state's attorneys in the state, and especially within the 46-county central district, I think those relationships are very, very important. So they know that the U.S. Attorney's Office is here to help them. It's not just to take the best cases, give them all the bad cases, and it is to help in whatever way we can. We are here to assist. And that constant discussion weekly about what's going on in your community, whether it be in Quincy or in Rock Island or in Danville, and what can we do to help? Using our federal partners, working with the FBI or the ATF or the DEA or Postal or the FDIC or all these other federal agencies that investigate cases, what can we do on the federal side to help you in your community? And quite frankly, that was my message to all the employees in the district when I first started. I went around and met with every one of them and said, look, I am here to help you do your job and the mission of the U.S. Attorney's Office. What can I do to help? That's my same message to every community in the district. What can we do to help as a U.S. Attorney's Office, as the Department of Justice, with our federal law enforcement partners to help you in your community?
In December, the president signed a bipartisan criminal justice reform bill, among other things, shortened sentences for some offenders, expanding job training and other programs for prisoners, also retroactively limits the disparity in sentencing guidelines between crack and powder cocaine offenses. So how does that play out for your office in charging decisions and you know, knowing that the sentencing picture has sort of changed at the end of the day?
Plays out in several ways. One, I will talk about sort of the retroactive nature of it. So we'll have cases where people were sentenced under the old guidelines. So the First Step Act and the criminal justice reform makes retroactive certain things. So we have a dedicated attorney now that is going through the cases that are coming up where individuals will be getting out of prison because of this change in the law. So we're working through those cases.
Do you have any sense of how many cases that is?
I think in the district, it's upwards of 80 to 90 cases that are affected. And there might be more. But we looked at, it was 80 to 90 cases that were affected, that were identified, where individuals either were going to get out sooner or were going to get out immediately based on the retroactive nature of the legislation. So that is looking at past cases. Looking in the future at cases, it affects the sentences that individuals will get. Now, the sentencing function is the job of the judge. So our job is to work with law enforcement to develop the evidence on a case, look at what the law is, prosecute that case, make sure the individual is convicted, if it's appropriate to prosecute him, and then the judge would sentence him. So it affects the sentences that individuals get. But other than that, it doesn't affect us prosecuting cases. We will continue to do that. It could change somewhat what cases stay in state court versus go to federal court. Because a lot of times when there are discussions between federal prosecutors and state court prosecutors, it is, where is the best case to prosecute this case? Where is the law the most favorable to the prosecutor to say, here's what has to be proven, here's what the sentence is? So where, for a very violent offender, do we get the most lengthy sentence, which is what we want, to lock this person up for as long as we can? And so it might affect some of those cases. What might be in state court based on prior criminal history that maybe now can't be used, or the reduction in what those mandatory sentences are, maybe state court is a better place to prosecute that case.
So this year, the Illinois General Assembly is widely expected to consider at least legalizing recreational marijuana. Marijuana remains illegal under federal law. So what would a potential disagreement between state and federal law on marijuana mean for your office and your prosecutors?
As the elected state's attorney for years, I was the president of the Illinois State's Attorney Association, also involved in and testified at the Capitol against legalizing marijuana. So that is out there. But my job is not to make the law. It's to enforce the law. And as the U.S. attorney, I'll continue to do that under the direction of the attorney general. More people smoking marijuana, in my mind, is not a good thing. I see if it's legalized and more kids are smoking marijuana or using marijuana, I just don't think that is a good thing. I know there are arguments on the medical side, on the therapeutic side, on possibly that drug being used instead of other drugs that might be safer. I understand that. My bigger picture is on more people using it doesn't seem like a good thing to me. And I've seen it in prosecuting cases where individuals are under the influence of drugs, oftentimes marijuana or a combination of marijuana and alcohol, and those can have deadly consequences.
You know, other states have done this where the state law and the federal law disagree. Does friction come up when you have, you know, federal prosecutors sitting in districts that are in districts where it's legal at a state level?
I think we go to what the priorities are in the office and how we can have the biggest impact on the community. And I think, is it to go after that person with a very small amount of marijuana that's smoking it? No. I mean, is it to go after that individual that is transporting hundreds of pounds of marijuana and selling it in our high schools? Yes. Is it to go after the individual who is committing violent crime or stealing millions of dollars from the elderly? Yes. So I think it goes into where our priorities are, and prosecuting somebody with a very small amount of marijuana would be very low on the priorities.
So as a county prosecutor, you were an advocate for specialty courts, helping to establish a drug court, a mental health court, and veterans court here in Sangamon County, where we're speaking today. I believe Peoria already has a federal drug court, if I'm not mistaken. In other words, how would your belief in specialty courts and their efficacy translate here into your new role as a federal prosecutor? Are you going to bring any of that with you?
As far as a diversion or specialty court, it's been around the longest. And it's identifying those nonviolent offenders who are in the court system because of their drug addiction, because of the substance use problem. And it has been very successful. We started one here in Sangamon County when I was state's attorney in 2010, and it has been very successful. In individuals at their graduation, when they're successful, will come in. Oftentimes, family members will be there where they've been, haven't talked to family members in years, in and out of prison, oftentimes their entire life until they address their drug problem. And that can be very satisfying. And the research shows, and what we've seen here and also nationwide, when those individuals successfully complete drug court, they are much, much less likely to reoffend. So specialty courts seem to make sense. And in my position now, I will continue to work. The federal system with the cases that come through here is not set up, quite frankly, to do a bunch of specialty courts like state court is. But we'll continue to work with state court partners in whatever way we can, and to divert cases and to utilize specialty courts. Because when you look at the entire criminal justice system, it makes sense. And part of it is looking at the specific facts of each individual case, which has to happen, and identify what happened here. And it just makes sense if you want to, on a bigger picture, reduce crime in the future. You look at each individual case and what happened in this case, what can we do in this specific case? But also, can we learn something from that to then somebody else in this situation that's out in the community to make them this not happen to them?
The administration has certainly emphasized immigration enforcement over the last couple of years on many different fronts. So that may leave people with the impression that it's a big priority throughout the entire administration, throughout the Department of Justice, including even your office. How many cases on your current slate involve immigration issues, working with ICE, Homeland Security, on that kind of stuff?
We do have those issues in the Central District, but it's our bigger issues, quite frankly, are violent crime, the opioid use, and other priority issues within the district. And those are cases, and we'll continue to work with law enforcement and do what's appropriate in those cases. But the priorities are the reduction of violent crime, working on the opioid problem, and some other priorities in the district.
That's John Millhiser, the new U.S. Attorney for the Central District of Illinois, with GLT's Ryan Denham. The previous U.S. Attorney, Jim Lewis, retired in December of 2016 as President Trump prepared to take office.